A reading from the letter of Apostle Paul to the Romans, written to encourage the believers in the Rome with the assurance of Spirit's help and the unbreakable love of God. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, and that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he also not, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this is the word of the Lord.
Hear the word of God as it is found in Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 through 33 and verses 44 through 52. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. This is the word of the Lord.
At the beginning of our service, I said we have been meditating from Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 has got seven parables, and we meditated two parables already. Parable of the sower and parable of the weeds and the wheat. And today we are going to look at five parables, And I thought the four parables, the first four parables we will make into two groups, and the final one as it is. So the first two parables are the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the yeast. So that two parables we will keep it together. And then the other two parables, the parable of the hidden treasure and the parable of the pearl with great value, of great value, that we will keep together. And then finally, we will look at the parable of the yeast, parable of the dragnet. Okay, so three lessons we will learn from these five parables. Now, before we go into these parables, I thought we will make some observation, because Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven. Now, we all know that kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God is one and the same. We don't need to worry about the word kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God. Both are same. Now, kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God is already inaugurated. When Jesus came to this world 2,000 years ago, he brought his kingdom. And his kingdom is growing gradually, steadily, and powerfully. His kingdom will have no end. It's growing slowly, steadily, gradually, and powerfully. What is his kingdom? Kingdom means the king, who is our Lord Jesus, and when he rules our hearts, the kingdom has come into me. So God in Jesus is ruling in my heart, and therefore the kingdom has come into me, and the kingdom has come into you, because you have accepted him as your king, and his kingdom is growing. And his kingdom will see its fullness, see its consummation when he comes, when in his second coming. So we are waiting for the day, but his kingdom is now growing. Now, kingdom of God is not the same as the church. They are closely related, but they are not identical. They are different. In history, some people treated the church as if it were the kingdom. Church and kingdom are the same. That's what people treated. Some people treated in the history. That's the reason they went and they colonized other countries. They wanted to establish their own kingdom, thinking that they are establishing God's kingdom there. No, kingdom is different, and church is different. Both are related, but both are different. Jesus is establishing his kingdom, and his kingdom he will bring it to full form at some day. But we are his people, his kingdom people, working in his church towards that, that fulfillment. So church is not the kingdom, but kingdom, the church is part of the kingdom. Kingdom is so big, but church is part of it. Kingdom is the sign, let me say it again. Church is the sign of the kingdom. Kingdom is so big, and the church is the sign of the kingdom. The church is here. That means the kingdom is at work in this part of the world. Church is a faithful church. Wherever there is a faithful church, there the kingdom has come and the kingdom is growing. Many countries said that we will not allow any church to come into our country. But there, people started worshiping God. There are churches being established. Though they closed their door, but church is worshiping. That means the kingdom has come even into that country. So, I hope I'm clear on that. Kingdom is so big, but the church is part of the kingdom. Now, Jesus in this passage, at least two times he said, whoever has ears, let him hear. Or let anyone with ears listen. That's what Jesus said. What does that mean? Why Jesus is saying this? Jesus is teaching through parables. He is teaching eternal truth. He is teaching divine truth. He is teaching his kingdom, which is not known to us. So how to make it known? So he is leading us from known to the unknown. He is telling small stories which we are able to understand, and whatever we are able to understand, from there he is teaching us what is not known to us. So that's parable, small stories. From that story he is teaching us the eternal truth. So parables are leading us from known to the unknown. That's what we said last time. But then again, I wanted to emphasize that. So why did Jesus say this then? He who has ears, let him hear. Why did he say that? He says this, it is all because the kingdom message is simple, very easy to comprehend. Whoever wants to listen, he will understand it, or she will understand it. Let anyone with ears listen. It is not a big, difficult one to understand. It is a simple truth. You know what is dragnet. You know what is yeast. You know what is mustard seed. And then if you know it, then you can know the kingdom. So let him let anyone with ears listen. Simple. So we all can know his kingdom. Now let's come back to the parables. The first two parables, the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the yeast. What Jesus is teaching here is simple. Kingdom of heaven grows from small beginnings. Kingdom of God begins grows from small beginnings. Okay. We all look for big things. We talk about mega malls, giant wheels, extravagant parties, expensive cars, supermodels, mega churches, massive buildings, and huge crowds. And we always look for something special there. And we look for God there in those big, big things. And Jesus says, no, kingdom of God begins in a small way. Small way. Mustard seed is small. But when you plant it, it grows big. And birds come and build their nest on its branches. Small becoming big. So the kingdom of God is not top to bottom approach or big to small approach. Kingdom of God is small to big approach. Now, we look for kingdom of God in wrong places. We expect it We expect to find it only in great cities, famous churches, or powerful nations. We even look for God's kingdom in Jerusalem, where Jesus was crucified, died, and the third day rose again. So we look for kingdom in big places, religious centers. But Jesus is saying that kingdom of God is within you, is among you. That's what the question disciples asked in Luke chapter 17. They asked when the kingdom of God would come. That's what the question they asked. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God is within you. It starts in a small way and it grows big. Have you realized that Jesus is ruling in your heart? If you have realized, then kingdom is with you. Susan, my wife, has sometimes searches for her comb. You know comb? She goes from one room to another, searches, looking for it. She asks me as well whether I have seen the comb. I look at her head and say, the comb is tucked in your hair. Then she realizes this. Are we doing the same? Are we looking elsewhere? God is with you. His kingdom has come to you. Since his kingdom has come to you, Jesus is saying that participate in his kingdom. Gladly participate in his kingdom. His kingdom has come to the lowliest of the lowly, because it starts in a simple way. Anyone can receive his kingdom. And he says, you participate. That's the reason Jesus very beautifully said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 42, whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is my disciple, will certainly not lose his reward. Whatever little thing that you do matters in his kingdom, even a cup of water. Everyone can join in it because it has come to our level, and everyone can participate in it. Everyone can give a cup of water at least. Join in it and participate in it. So every act of love, every little action matters in his kingdom. I have already said in one of my sermons that Mother Teresa said this: you never know what a simple smile can do. You never know what a simple smile can do. Go on and spread the kingdom. The kingdom has come to you. In the second parable, the parable of the yeast, a woman took 3 measures of flour and made the dough. Now, very interestingly, Matthew is from a male-dominated patriarchal society. He is a Jew. And therefore, when we read Luke, he brings women a lot in his writing. He is talking about widows in his writing, in his gospel in Luke. But Matthew, we don't see it explicitly. But here in this parable, a man went and sowed the seed of mustard, the mustard seed, and a woman took 3 measures of flour and she put yeast in it. So in his kingdom, all are part of it. Women and men and children and adult and old and young, everyone is part of it. And Matthew also says that. And what is the measure? 3 measures of flour. Somebody made a calculation saying that around 70 kgs of flour. And a little bit of yeast works through the 70 kg of flour and make it ready, fermented. His kingdom is spreading like that. You add the yeast in the society wherever you are, and the kingdom grows and it spreads. Now the second group of parables, the parable of the hidden treasure and the parable of the pearl. In the hidden treasure, a man went and worked in the field. He went and worked. That land doesn't belong to him. He goes and works there. As he was plowing or digging, whatever, he saw a treasure. Immediately, he went and gathered money, bought the land, and took out the treasure. That's. And in the other parable, the parable of the pearl, a pearl of great value, a merchant was looking for a pearl. Pearl of great value. He was searching for it. So he was going here and there. And as soon as he found it, and he knew the worth of it, so he went and sold all his property, came and bought the pearl. Both parables look similar, but there are some unique things in each parable. In the parable of the hidden treasure, this man did not look for the treasure. He went and worked. He just was doing his daily job, and he found the treasure. And the merchant was looking for it, and he found the pearl. So in other words, kingdom of heaven is available for everyone. It is available to those who are not looking for it. And it is available to those who are sincerely seeking it. God's kingdom is open to all. But Jesus is teaching something else through these parables. Kingdom of heaven is a treasure beyond compare. You cannot imagine its worth. It's a priceless pearl. Nothing in this world is more valuable than his kingdom. That's why both of them went and sold everything, and they bought whatever precious they have identified. Paul understood this truth. He's a learned man. He studied under Gamaliel, a world-renowned, famous teacher. He had academic credentials beyond anyone's imagination. But Paul, after knowing Jesus, he considers everything that was his benefit as a loss and rubbish. I consider everything a loss. I consider everything rubbish. I want to know Jesus. I want to know the power of his resurrection. To do that, everything is a loss. Nothing is I'm going to hold on as my benefit. Remember, what we hold is very, very precious. Jesus is living in you, and Jesus is very, very precious. No one can compare imagine the worth of it. That's the reason Paul again says, but he quotes from Isaiah in his letter to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human heart has conceived what God has prepared for his people. It's worth beyond anyone's imagination. So what are we doing? Are we taking this call lightly? Are we taking his kingdom easily? Notice that these two people were not simply interested in the hidden treasure or the pearl. They committed themselves to get it. They committed themselves to get it. There is a great difference between interest and commitment. When you are interested in something, you do it only when it is convenient. You do it only when circumstances allow. But when you are committed to something, you do not look for excuses. You are willing to make sacrifices. You are willing to pay the price because you know it is worth. The kingdom of heaven calls for that kind of commitment. This is a common story. Probably you might have heard this story. I'll just tell this story. A chicken and a pig were discussing how to help a hungry family. The chicken said, "Let's give them eggs and bacon. Now, a pig said, "No, that's not possible." But the chicken said, "I am bringing egg, so you bring your bacon." For which the pig said, "For you, it is only an interest. For me, it is life commitment." Now, the kingdom of God has come. Are we interested in it? Are we committed to it? Thirdly, we are talking about the parable of the dragnet. Dragnet is not casting net. Dragnet means a couple of boats go inside the lake or sea, and they put the net and they round it up and they bring the net to the shore, and where at the shore they separate the good ones from the bad ones. So when the dragnet is put in the water, it gathers all kinds of fish, different kinds of fish. As long as the net is inside the water, every kind is together. And when it is brought to the shore, there the separation takes place. This particular parable is similar to the parable of the weeds and the wheat. But the focus in the parable of the weeds and the wheat is that they are growing together. The weed and the wheat growing together. But here the focus is more on the final day, the consummation, the harvest day, or his judgment day. As long as we live on this earth, we are all together. The good one and the bad one are together. There is no way we can make the judgment saying that this person is right and that person is wrong. Whether that is given to us, I don't think so. But we are all together. Spread the yeast. You never know. The bad ones can become good ones. Be cautious. Be careful about yourself. The good ones can also turn into the bad one. As long as we are inside the net, we have hope. So don't lose the hope. Keep working. The kingdom of heaven has come. We pray every day this prayer, "Your kingdom come." Yes, his kingdom is going to come. And we are praying sincerely that we will see, we are praying that this kingdom may come sooner than later. That's our prayer. And his kingdom is certainly going to come in its fullness, whether I like it or not. Whether I am not part of it, but his kingdom is going to come. But the question is, am I part of this kingdom? Am I spreading the yeast that is given to me? I'll finish with this illustration. When the academic year starts, they accept students. They accept many students. And at the end of the year, the harvest time comes. The judgment comes. The evaluation is made. And if pass, then only they can go to the next stage. His kingdom is growing gradually. But on the day when he comes, that's where we will know who is passed and who is not passed. So three things. Kingdom is small and it's growing. I can join and I can participate. Kingdom is very precious, beyond anyone's imagination. Let us be committed to it. Kingdom is certainly coming to an end, coming to its fullness, and we need to be working towards that day so that we will be accepted in God's kingdom. May the dear Lord bless us all. Amen.